Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
To the default setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm... I couldn't help that.
You bitch.
I'm co-host Gigi Chick.
And today...
And we're professionals.
We're professionals. Today, we have a comedian... co-host of the Ad Hominem Attack Show podcast and roast battle, and I'm sure does all kinds of other shit that I'm not thinking of right now because I am under the influence. Please welcome Chris Paugh.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Good.
All you need to know is he's super hilarious.
Gigi literally met him 30 seconds ago.
I literally I don't know. I feel like every week I have to look up because I'm not in the comedy circle of any kind, so I usually have to Facebook stalk who the next guest is going to be. And just from your profile picture, I'm like, oh my God, I know that guy. He's hilarious. So that was it. That's all.
She's like, oh, I know him.
I know
he's
this
funny.
One. I've seen him many times.
Oh my God, you got a funny comic on here this week. What the fuck? I love saying controversial shit like that because...
Yeah, I don't want to be a jerk, but go back and look at the other episodes, guys.
No. I love saying shit like that, especially last week. Jeremy kind of flipped out because we were trying to name all the female comics. And of course, we forgot six dozen of them. And he's like, people are going to get pissed. I'm like, you're assuming people listen to this.
Oh, well, Jeremy has a precedence for knowing that people get pissed when you make lists.
He's had experience. Yeah, he's had extensive experience, which I understand. But yeah, it was just funny because I went back and listened to it. I'm like, oh, shit, is this going to piss? Oh, no one listens to this. They're going to be
fine. I don't
think
that would piss anyone off, though, because you both basically came to the conclusion that, oh, yeah, there are a lot of female.
We did, yeah.
Well, I was comedians.
It's interesting because more if local people think you're talking about somebody, that episode will get the most downloads than any other episode.
We should just allude every week.
Well, it's because I know you guys have kind of teased.
We've leaned into it a few times.
Yeah, teased, and we're going to talk about this person.
I'm no longer into that.
No, you're
yeah,
right.
it's. Too much.
it just stirs up too much drama, or?
Yeah, because we talk shit about people by name.
But you actually, you call them out? Okay, so you
There's just been a whole, it's not good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think avoiding, well, I think that's for me, I don't have the energy to endure drama. I talk about that a lot. I'm just too fucking old. I can't.
Yeah.
Can't do this.
I like to pretend I hate it, but I
hate the drama. I mean, it's not the thing is, I think my mind instinctively will just go, whoa, what's going on over there? Two people are beating the shit out of each other. But then there's also this part of me that when I'm directly involved, I'm like, no, I can't get the motivation to be fuck you. And then do the whole back and forth thing. I was married for a while and I just am too tired from all the screaming and swearing.
Yeah, I decided to go to war with someone this morning.
Did you really?
Because someone showed me a tweet he made that referenced something I said somewhere else and he didn't even name me in it.
Oh, really? And you wanted
now I want to just ruin him.
Oh my God, I love it.
You're like, I will end you.
Yeah. I've never intimidated a single fucking person. I just feel if I did try to go head to head with some, I would lose every time because people, I feel just laugh at me when I get angry. There's no oh shit. It's just
that's
ha-ha,
the
look
worst.
At that.
That's the cute. Worst though. Yeah. If you are legit angry and someone laughs at you because it's that will just make you 100 times angrier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm also a huge pussy because I don't...
let shit go.
Yeah, well, no, I won't really go after somebody if I think they're better than me.
So let that be known.
Note to self, if Chris ever just really starts laying into me on Twitter, I'll be like, aw, see where I stand. scheme of things. At least you pick on people your own size. I'll give you that. Or smaller. Smaller and weaker.
It depends. I find like more, like I just had like my 6-year comedy anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
But every year I just care less about what other comics think.
Yeah, yeah.
So I,
about you in general, like, I mean.
Yeah, and I just, I don't have any more, I don't know. There's like that camaraderie thing, but mm-hmm. I don't like. This is like anywhere else. If you're a dick, I'm not going to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to do it just because we do the same thing.
Right, right. Yeah. I totally understand that.
That's good.
It's very much like a solo sport. Like everybody's kind of in it for themselves and you can make friends, but like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing you're doing is by yourself. So it's kind of like, that's kind of who you are is you have to be a pretty independent
person. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I mean, I have like a lot of people I like, but I just don't, I don't know. It's, I don't know.
Well, you're a dad. You've got shit this going is, on.
Like. Yeah. And I need to distract from all that stress. So I pick fights with people.
So you cause stress elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's like a perpetual motion machine of
I'll
stress.
I'll go ruin some idiot today that's like on the radio in Akron.
You two crack me up. You and Steve Murs, whenever I see like, they'll be like, so-and-so commented on this like random thread. And it's either you or Steve. And I'm always like, bah! Like the things you guys say are hysterical. And then just like, yeah, you talk about not liking the drama, but I'll just sit there and secretly like tent my fingers.
Yeah,
while you
I think
like,
everyone does
go off on some shit. Yeah, no, I get that. I think what do I want to say? The viewer like drama. I can't deny like I like watching drama. I just don't like being a part of it because I just get tired.
Oh
of
yeah,
shit.
I think that's why I like reality TV. Like I'm a reality TV junkie. Like even the stuff like lifestyles I completely cannot relate to.
It's
there's
like,
something about just the core drama that. And everyone, no matter your status in life, deals with that. It's just so stupid. And
it's
funny.
Like a weird, like emotional voyeurism.
Yeah.
You're just like sitting on your couch. Like I'll be sitting on. I should speak for myself. I'll be sitting on my couch, just like eating and just watching like the Kardashians, like suckers, like just like. Or, like
so yours is more like Schadenfreude. Like you're like ha ha. Like you just get off. Like,
and that's why I love that my brothers. Totally would like watch stuff like that with me. Even I mean we used to watch the show The Girls Next Door.
Oh my god.
We used to watch
that show
together like religiously and we thought it was the funniest thing on the face of the planet. I mean we would like
that spun off into
Kendra?
Yeah, yes. Kendra. My girlfriend's way into watching that show.
Is that still a show? Year.
Kendra and Hank.
Yeah, and then they were on Marriage Boot Camp.
Okay.
Yeah. They
I lost touch after their personal show.
Lost touch. They need like a reunion. No, they don't. That would be... Well, actually, it'd be good because they'd all be in one place. If you just
I love
to
all the Real Housewives.
Down.
Like every city. There needs to be one for Cleveland. It would just be super raw dog.
My friend always like hashtags like Real Housewives of the Rust Belt or something like that and get like Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland women.
I used to make fun of like my mom and her friends at one point because just the people like she surrounded herself with when I was in high school, I was like, really? Okay, whatever. And, I would always, like, I lived out in Avon Lake at the time, and it would be like, Real Housewives of the Lake. Like, I would say, just, like, the weird shit, like, as they're talking to each other. I would, like, commentate on their conversations.
That's awesome.
Now you're watching real life as though it's a
I'm like, this is real. This is happening now.
Oh, my God. Hey, so we've been talking for 7 minutes and still haven't mentioned your default setting. Your default setting is white trash.
Yes.
All right. Incredible. So I like to learn more about what, like, you consider that to be, like, your core sort of personality or, like, how do you associate that?
Something I can't get away from. it's... I think first you gotta. There's a lot of kinds of white people, and two-thirds of them are awful. And
he's taking a sip of my drink when he said that.
Probably just as much falls under white trash, but also I think of white trash as like the white corporation people too.
Okay,
like they're but
anyone who votes Republican is what you're saying, like corporations
well,
and
anybody well. I like anybody that is proudly white trash, like that's a different kind of thing too. Yeah. That's like
redneck woman at Tina's every night.
Yeah, like Kid Rock if he was never in shape.
Yeah. Wasn't married to Pamela. No, that probably helped him.
Or anybody that holds on to like the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
Because that's even like there's no way around it. You're being a dick. Mm-hmm. Like you're just trying to be contrarian at the very least.
Inflammatory.
And some degree of racist in any case.
Like, you could be inflammatory a million ways and you're choosing the racist way to do it.
Yeah, because the history argument doesn't hold up because none of them know any history.
Right.
They just know like the shit that like their drunk uncles told them when they were, you know, growing up.
Stories have been passed down from generations.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they have like the telephone game.
Except war it was like a can
stuff.
With like a cable coming out of it.
That they also spit in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's that kind of because I was from here, but when I was like 5, we moved to Georgia for like 11 years. Okay. So I went to all of like grade school and what little bit of high school I went to down there. And it's poor people, but there's poor people that are not white trash. Mm-hmm. But there's also like where lived in a lot of trailer parks, and there was this street close to the one school I went to called Wilmot Street, and it was the projects, but it wasn't the it was like one street of brick apartments.
Okay.
That were like, it was like half and half, like black and white, and probably not even half and half, it was mostly white.
Okay.
More than not.
Okay.
It was like a lot of old people and like people on Social Security and shit, like old people or like handicapped in some way. But it was also like always, I don't know, they were always up each other's ass about something or other too. There's like a lot of fighting in the yard.
Yeah.
For white trash.
Scrapping it out.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know, like, just clothes from the dollar store, like, all that kind of stuff, like, super poor, and when I realized that when I moved back to Ohio, we were in the suburbs, and it was, like, the group of friends I had in Georgia, we all just did meth and, like, partied and stuff. And when I came to back to Ohio, I met a girl and I was hanging out with like people that she knew, and we were all like this was like my group of friends now, and we decided to walk to this I think it was like TJ's or something like that, and I flipped out because hamburgers were $8. Because it never, I've never like even went into that kind of restaurant before that to know. Because I was like, hamburgers are $2.
Right.
They're at McDonald's unless you know somebody that works there and they can like hand you a bag of food out the window.
Right.
Which is a white trash thing to do.
Right.
That happened plenty of times in Georgia.
Absolutely. Oh, I worked at Burger King. Yeah.
And it also, like, in Georgia with white trash, the meth, like, it's heroin now. Mm-hmm. But because that's what people don't. They had like small towns are still like that Norman Rockwell thing, and it's not. Everybody's on heroin or drunk, or they've got skull dribbling out of their mouth.
Right.
They're just, you know, all trucker hat, just assholes.
Yeah.
Assholes. And they don't think they're assholes. Yeah. They think they're godly people and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
God fearing.
Well, and it goes back to something Steve actually posted. Steve Merz posted on Instagram yesterday, which I actually had seen a similar study, that people are so dumb they don't know that they're dumb, you know what I mean? Like, so that they're very confident and like kind of to what you're saying, they're very like overly confident and think that they're like righteous and they think, yeah, they're, you know what I mean? Because they're just, they're not aware of the fact that they don't know anything.
Yeah. It's that, that kind of people that, would call people college boy.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, for going to college.
One of the refrains.
Or, faggot for going to college.
Oh, yeah. Or the refrains that I've heard a lot, especially where I grew up, was, you think you're better than us when you try to do anything. And that's the guilting,
it's like,
sort of.
Don't you want me to like have a good
life? No, that's not on the radar. It's about comparing yourself and like making people feel like they can never be better than you because you're so.
Yeah, because there's, that level of insecurity is, and it's also why it's so easy to get them to believe that Black and Mexican people are their problem.
Right.
And that it's not, and it's not that their uncles passed out naked on the front yard at, you know, and the neighbors all hate them. I don't know. Neck tattoos, unless you're like.
Face tattoos.
Unless you're like somebody that just has tons of tattoos, but it's always, it's like a guy that's got like a teardrop and like some
and
girls.
That's the first place
or
they
just
go.
Just like one piece right here and like just some random.
He's got a tribal and then like a face tattoo. And it's like you had 78% of your body left that you could have inked and you chose your face.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that at the Lakewood DMV yesterday. I actually noticed one particular guy who. I don't think his eyes were even open all the way. He was in line and
he should be driving. Absolutely.
He's like, let me get that test and show you I can drive still. He was wearing like a trucker hat and, you know, a dirty like white t-shirt and like big baggy pants and like boots and looks like he probably does like some type of construction. Like it just looked like that's what he was just doing.
And they were the tattoos like really faded?
Oh, they were really, like, terribly done. Blue they were faded. Blobs. He had this, like, it was, like, red. It was, like, kind of on the back of his neck. It just looked like something that you would doodle as, like, a middle schooler. Like, some symbol or, like,
he probably got it when he was 16. And
Yeah, and it just looked, like, just sloppy as
What's
hell.
What's stick and poke? Is that when you just try to, like, do a tattoo to yourself?
When you get some kind of ink, and I think... There's people that I've seen do it where they wrap some thread around the sharp end and they dip it in ink and they just poke over and over again.
Well, because there's a difference between like that and like jailhouse tattoos where it's like very, very much like my stepdad has one, like a heart on his finger that he was literally just like stabbed like his finger repeatedly until it was a janky looking heart. But then the stick poke, I think, isn't that just like a really traditional form of tattooing?
It might be, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, if you go to like a place to get
so you can go get a stick poke. That's a new request. I thought that was like a DIY thing. I mean,
no, and you can, and it's literally sticking and poking a needle into your body, but it's a little different, I think. And that can actually be a professional like tattoo if you wanted it to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Interesting. We always learn so much here on The Default Setting. So you associate with white trash initially just because that was sort of the lifestyle that you grew up with.
Yeah. And there's like, there's stuff that you just don't get out of, like just the worrying about being poor or like even when you have a bunch of money, like it doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Because you just don't even wrap your mind around what to do with that. Like people when they get their, from like February to April, you'll see like a lot of shit on the curb.
Yeah.
And that's because when white trash gets their taxes back, they just get all new furniture. And it's gone in like 2 weeks. And I've done that myself plenty of times.
It seems like a somewhat practical purpose. I don't know, furniture. It's nice.
Yeah, but it'll be also like a lot. You'll see a lot of big ass TV boxes and stuff like that. And it's like, and I'm just as guilty because it's like I said, I can't get out of it.
Right.
But it's like you had all this money in January and then you have this really sweet TV in April.
Yeah.
But your cable's off now.
Right. So you can't watch the sweet TV. Yeah.
I think that happens a lot. Like that, like the poor man mindset. Because I remember watching a Will Smith interview. And I think this is pretty common of even like a lot of celebrities who started off with nothing and or like came from very like poor childhoods. And he's like, even like today, I still have stress dreams about money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm like completely set and I know that and I'm responsible with my money, but that will never leave my head of like the fear of losing money or not having enough money or like trying. It's like this survival.
Yeah.
Was you said your family moved to Georgia when you were young?
They're from there and here.
Okay.
And West Virginia.
Yeah, my family's from West Virginia. What did they move down there for? Just to be back with family again, or?
I don't know why we moved there. Okay. We left Cleveland and went to West Virginia for a year, and then to Georgia for 11 years.
Okay.
I have no idea why.
Okay.
I know why we came back here. Oh, it's because my mom's boyfriend at the time had warrants.
Oh no,
where we lived.
Okay.
So that was the pilgrimage back.
Did you, that's actually kind of pretty hardcore. I feel like the Eagles write songs about that shit. Did you have a relationship with like your grandparents or your mom's side of the family at all? Was it her side of the family you guys were down there?
It was my mom's side. And, my grandma was great. I lived with her, for a couple of years. Because I hated my mom's boyfriend.
Okay. Was it the same boyfriend pretty much throughout, or?
No. The other one died, and then her and his brother got together. Oh, okay,
all right. So we're keeping with the theme. You're committed.
And it's what is still with me is it's a lot the money thing, because it's like I don't. One of the, like an example I have a hard time wrapping my mind around is like buying expensive items, but like buying them because, well, if I get this, then it's going to last a lot longer.
Investment.
Like I still always try to go like get the cheapest thing
and replace it so often.
Cause it's like, well, it's easier to come up with $5 every once in a while than to part with 80 right now.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Was your grandma, did your grandma stay in Georgia the whole time? Was that like who you were down there to see?
She had a house there and, another white trash thing. There were like a ton of us living in it and it was like two bedrooms.
Cause I'm just trying to figure out like how, like, cause I'm intrigued by how far back the cycle goes. You know what I mean? Like if your grandma always kind of lived that sort of lifestyle and then that's all your mom really knew. And I'm interested
about that. I think the, like, as far as being poor, I think probably along like probably always.
I'm assuming like Irish Scottish immigrants from like 200 years ago.
I had a on my dad's side. There's a paw who was in the Revolutionary War.
Nice.
And at the time they spelled our name P-A-U-T-H.
Okay.
And the government sent him his pension check with the typo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't trust them enough to send it back and get it corrected. So he changed the name.
Changed it just for that.
Yeah. So it's been P-A-U-G-H since then.
Does it get like normally spelled and pronounced correctly for the most part? Or
No.
Botched pretty regularly. Yeah, I mean, I imagine spelling people are probably just like P-A-W. Yeah.
I feel like almost every time someone says it, it's wrong because they're saying Paul with an L.
Oh, yeah.
But it sounds close enough. So yeah, I don't.
No one ever says my last name right, so it's totally fine. So I understand. But yeah, so it sounds like kind of become like a cycle, and it is very much like built into like, especially when it goes a few generations back.
Yeah. Well, I know my mom and her brother and them, they went to school here in Collinwood.
Okay.
Which made them racist.
Sure. What was it about that area that they moved to, or did it just happen to be getting bad around the time they lived there?
I don't know. I don't know how they ended up, because my grandmother was already down there. I think we just had a lot of people. Everybody's moved back and forth.
Okay.
It's like more than I've been able to keep track of. So it's always like Cleveland or Georgia. Somerville, Georgia, like this area. that is it, when I lived there, the meth, there was so much meth going around that like you would just go to hang out at someone's house and there would be like a pile of it on the table and you just smoked and passed it around like people would weed anywhere, like any normal place.
Whoa. I don't even think I would watch Breaking Bad and felt like such a moron because I'm like, I don't even know what you're supposed to do. Like,
are you just about anything. Snort it? Like, yeah, you can do though either of those or shoot it. You just have to prep it a different way for each thing. When I did it, it was all we snorted for the most part. I knew like there were people that shot up. That was a weird moment, like because I woke up at a friend's house one time. And I looked over and another friend of mine was shooting up, but he was like he missed so many times and he didn't, I think the water might have been shut off or so, I don't remember why, but he didn't get water to you're supposed to put some water or something or melt it and then get it in the syringe to make it liquid.
Okay.
He drew his own blood and put that in there to mix it up to liquefy it and then shot it back in.
Oh my God. That's intense.
And he had to try like four times or something.
Oh my Jesus.
And that was like the first thing I saw that day.
When was the first time you like started getting into meth and other kinds of drugs?
What's that?
Like, what age were you when you started getting into, like, meth?
14.
Okay. And was it one of those things where people told you not to and you were like, fuck you, or, like, no one told you not to?
No, it was just normal.
It's what everybody
like, it
did.
Was just shit you did when you got, like, started being a teenager.
Like, to pass the time.
And I mean, was your mom, did she know that you were doing
that? She did later, but not so much about the meth and stuff. Like, I smoked pot at home, like openly and that stuff. But like I was on acid one time and she asked me what I'd been doing and I said acid and I was just giggling about it. And she started crying, which really ruined my buzz.
Fucking moms. Yeah. Ruin our LSD trips.
So yeah, it's more like no one even thinks twice about pot. In that that kind of
like
environment,
beer or whatever. It's
and in a lot of homes at the time, like meth was the same way. It was just like,
where do they? So most do they mostly make their own meth?
That I don't
never really found out.
Yeah, or it's better not
to dive into that.
Yeah.
So we'll go with and like, I mean, I don't really, we were literally talking about this before you came over. Like, I know nothing about drugs. Is it pretty easy to like make acid and shit like that? I honestly don't know.
I don't know how to make anything. Yeah.
I'm just wondering how these drugs are getting into like, cause I don't understand anything about that either.
Well, so. One of those, settings of white trash I can't get out of is snitching.
Okay.
Like that was really
like
pressed
you
on
snitch?
Me.
Is that you're supposed to snitch or you're not supposed to snitch?
You don't talk to cops.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. When I was like 13 and 14, my dad, would go, he asked me, would you go to jail or tell on your friend? And I was like, go to jail. And he's like, yeah, that's right.
He's like, right answer.
Have you like deviated from that at all? Or is that pretty much just.
Well, I mean, now the last 10 or 15, like, I don't know anything to snitch on.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if there were even like things on a very like simplistic level that you were like, hey, so and so's talking shit about you, or you know, that kind of thing. Or
That only if I think it's funny.
Okay. You tell the other person that they're talking shit if you think it's funny.
If it's either gonna entertain me or if by talking to them about it it's gonna make my life easier.
Puppets, dance.
For sure.
Sociopath is your default setting.
Puppet master.
I know. Like,
yeah. Or if two people have a beef that somehow becomes annoying in my life, then I'll
shut it down.
Yeah.
It's funny. I do occasionally would watch that on Twitter where you would just referee, like, because I would follow all the people that were involved, and then he would just jump in and be like, "All right, all right, all right, break it up, break it up." and I thought it was funny.
Yeah, but I'm doing that to make it worse.
You're stoking
the fire. Stirring the fucking pot. I don't know. Some of the ones I've seen at least sounded like they were very dad wisdom-y. There was like, okay, this is a waste of everyone's fucking time. Shut the fuck up. Like those sorts of things.
That doesn't sound
like that. That's how I interpreted it anyway. Maybe I completely misread. It's the thing about social media. You don't know what the fuck anybody's actually means by anything.
That's my favorite thing about it.
Right? Well, my favorite thing about it is just like when people, like my new thing is like, there was a comic a few months back that like posted this manifesto on my wall about like, I needed to stop bitching and start grinding like the rest of these comics that are out there. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'd come to your show if you weren't such a bountifully petty little bitch. And like just said all these things. And he was like, I was just kidding. And I'm like, me too. Like, I don't know. Like fucking you want to sit here and play the I'm just kidding game? Because that's the other thing. You call people out on their shit and they're like, well, I'm just joking around. And it's like, oh, okay,
yeah,
well,
that's
then
such
so
an easy
I guess.
Cover up that's on how social this media.
Goes apparently.
So. Yeah. When if I know somebody personally, though, and they take something that I think they're taking it the wrong way, I do get like, come on, you fucking like,
you know me.
Yeah, it's one thing if you're like close to someone and they're like are twisting it and on social media.
My favorite thing is just to assume everybody's kidding all the time. So even when they start getting nasty with me, I'm like, oh, you like just like and that pisses them off even worse because you just can't.
Yeah. That's a good
let tactic. Them. Yeah. I got into that with a former friend last fall. It was actually kind of fun. And it was funny because, like, no one was liking or commenting on the whole thread. She and I were just going back and forth. At one point, I called her a cunt. And
it was intense.
No one was posting anything. And then finally, I was talking to some people about it the following week. And I'm like, so I got in this fight. And they were like, oh, yeah, we saw. Like, everybody was watching.
Everyone was just like,
the whole thing just watching. Unfold.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about it. There's a lot more people lurk and just don't say or click on anything than...
Then I don't know you're looking at it. And then it freaks me out when you're like, hey, I saw you. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, you actually look at my shit.
Or then there's also an embarrassing thing where you assume people know something because you put it on social media. And they're like, I don't know what you're like.
My favorite is when I assume they know it because I saw that they liked it. And they don't have any recollection of liking the thing. I'm
like,
yeah, you saw it. You liked it. And they're like, oh, I did. Oh, I'm sure I did. I just don't. I don't know what.
It's too much.
It is. It's I quit too Twitter much to like keep ish. Up with. I was just telling Pete before you got here, I want like a one-way Twitter. Like I want one where I can just post shit and not be tempted to look at all the other horseshit that's on Twitter because that stuff just spoils my brain and I can't.
So this is not off topic, but kind of. So I don't have an active Twitter account. I made one like years ago when I was in college, like when it first came out. And so, yeah, like maybe beginning of college, end of high school. I don't remember when
I'm just thinking about the fact that it's possibly Hannah Blunt 69 or something.
Yeah, it was like Hannah Blunt something like absurd.
420.
I need to like reactivate that ASAP. But at the time, you know, smartphones like were not a common thing. And so like I had my little flip phone. And if you wanted to tweet from your phone, you had to like text the specific number. You had to like text your tweet to Twitter. I don't even remember.
Wow, that was old school.
It was old school. And so, and to this day, I still don't fully understand how Twitter works. And I clearly did not at the time either. I was a newbie. I was Hannah Blunt. I didn't know what was going on. So I tweeted like my mom, sorry, mom, if you're listening to this, probably not, but she was kind of like annoying me because she's like, something's wrong. You're not telling me something. And I was like, mom, what are you talking about? I'm just watching TV. Like, leave me alone. And I just like in anger and like frustration tweeted something like, I hate when my mom like won't stop bugging me and thinks that there's always something wrong with me. It was like this angsty like high school girl like tweet.
Yeah.
I had texted my mother.
Ah, I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
And my mom like, she also her phone like dinged.
Oh, I
didn't even think about it. And all of a sudden she's like, what? No, I don't. She didn't even realize I had accidentally sent her that. She was like confused by it. So I kind of got off the hook.
I've done that with texts. Like it's terrible how many times I've done that with texts.
My friends like still laugh at me about that.
Like,
don't text your mom.
I had the text thing for Twitter and somehow I followed this Allison Court, who's was Lunette the Clown on the Big Comfy Couch.
You followed her?
Yeah, on Twitter. Oh, and she, like, she was, she Skyped into our podcast and we interviewed her. It was a defunct podcast now, but,
what?
Yeah. Sorry. And she, cause she did like a bunch of voices in video games and all this other stuff.
Are you serious?
Yeah, oh she's she's.
I hope my brother's listening.
Claire Redfield in the Resident Evil games, and she was Jubilee on the X-Men cartoon in the 90s, and
okay. This is craziness.
The mom on Bobby's World.
Ah, what? Sure, don't you know?
Yeah.
So and, she Skyped into your podcast and was like,
"Yeah, we talked to her for like an hour, but I." So I like I followed her on was on Twitter and somehow I tweeted her my dick.
I don't know how this happened. I didn't even take a picture.
I had the text thing. Somehow I followed it to where like I would get a text every time she tweeted. And
so
I kept just getting these texts all the time. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I don't even like Twitter.
I felt like I was just journaling into cyberspace and no one, like, and that was it. That was tweeting.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's what my ex-mother-in-law, actually, she created a Twitter account. And like, she and my ex-father-in-law moved to Birmingham, Alabama. And this is funny for a whole bunch of reasons, but the number one being they're the most like liberal, douchey people. Like so liberal, it's like insane. So they decided they're going to move to Alabama because they're totally going to fit in there. And she used to try and like talk women out of taking their Confederate flags down from their front yard. Anyway. So she got on Twitter and like, the thing is like my ex-father-in-law was like, the CFO of the University of Alabama, Birmingham. And she would just get on there and be like, this racist place sucks. And she would just like, just every night, like tweet these things. And like her screen name was like her first initial last name. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be the one to tell her. So let's just see how this all unfolds. And he doesn't work there anymore. And I think they moved back to Cleveland. So.
Yeah.
So, okay. Sorry. So what happened with Lunette?
It was just a weird thing getting like a direct text like every time this like person that I didn't really know.
It was like Lunette herself was texting.
Yeah, it was. And yeah, because I didn't follow. I assume you can do that. Set that up to like anyone or yeah, like as probably. Many people as
I haven't
you
done
want,
text,
but.
Twitter stuff. So I don't even know if that's still a thing or not, but I think you can turn notifications on. So when someone tweets,
yeah.
have it beep.
That was weird because she, the way that we ended up interviewing her was that, we had an episode of the podcast and it came up, the notion of, jerking off before the internet. And it was, and I was telling my co-host that, the big comfy couch was a thing when I was like 12 or 13 because there was this big big clock on the floor and she would move her legs and hips around in a big circle.
I do that. That's a joke that I do to my best friend. I go, and I'm not flexible, so I can barely do it. But wow, that's.
This is our 12th episode, and this is probably the 365th time that I don't know what anybody's talking about.
It was like a kid's show. Yeah.
Like PBS or cable, probably.
It might have been on PBS.
I feel like it was PBS, but at one point in the episode, there was an aerial shot of a big rug that was the face of a clock, and she would lay down as if her appendages were the hands
arms,
of the clock.
Yeah.
And that was her stretch. And so she would like, she'd flip her legs over her head and like put them all the way. There was this really corny, like,
she sure did.
So you told her this?
Well, I tweeted her the episode. She thought it was hilarious. And so she ended up doing the show because there was also some weird thing where she helped re-script some Mega Man games from like Japanese to English. And or like she was dating somebody that did. And somehow, like, they changed, like, some of the names of the Mega Man characters, and it, like, really pissed off Mega Man fans. And so she was, like, being attacked by all these gamers that are, like, the Gamergate dudes now.
But,
like, they didn't do all that, that's but they were, like, giving her a lot of shit on Twitter and stuff. And so we talked about that and a bunch of other stuff, and she told us that there's a bar in Canada where that she goes to where, like, there's other kids TV stars that hang out there.
My God, no.
Like, she's really good friends with Steve from Blue's Clues.
I was literally going to tell you, I was in Georgetown in DC, and Steve from Blue's Clues showed up one night and sat down next to me at the bar, and he was, like, talking, and he starts, like, hitting on the bartender, and she's like, Steve! Like, my kid watches you! Because this was, like, 10, 12 years ago, and it was the fucking funniest thing.
Yeah. She's like, Steve, get a clue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she stressed... she stressed to us because of the way that she found the, you know, to be in contact with us, that, you know, she was in all of them, like, she named a bunch of, they're mostly Canadian, and I think the only reason we have that show here at all was because the lake, because Canada's right across, we pick up some of those stations.
Yeah.
But she named off, like, a bunch of Canadian, kids,
I probably know
icons
like Caillou. No, I'm just kidding. That's the cartoon.
It's like, Jesus Christ, everyone.
And then Caillou came in. No, that'd be hilarious.
But anyway, she, like, explained to us that most of them are very kinky people. But,
I mean, what else,
like,
you got to do up there?
Yeah, like, but
hockey.
They were all really kind of defensive about it because people would give them shit that they worked with, like, on a kid's show and were also, like, adult sexual people. Yeah. And, like, but, yeah, they used to get, like,
you're not allowed to be, like, you have to be, like, you have to be, like, become a eunuch when you become a children's television. They just have to, like, castrate
people
you.
People are like,
you can't have sexual desires. You can't swear. You can't.
She told us they got a lot of mean letters back then from people because they had a black lady male person.
Seriously,
on the
show. I remember her. She was a hero.
Yeah.
Why are they complaining?
Yeah, they got, like, all these nasty, like, when people had to write letters, it was, like, even worse than.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
Oh, Canada.
Yeah.
Is it right in the national anthem?
Right.
So,
wow, that was amazing.
Now they got Justin Trudeau, who's getting criticized for trying too hard to be, like, open-minded and friendly. And
I can't. What is he doing?
You're just jealous. He's a nice ass.
He's just living out everything that people go, like, I fucking hate liberals. It's like, yeah, that's the guy.
That guy. I mean, well, it was funny just because I saw, like, this article the other day. It was, like, Washington Post, and it was, like, India to Trudeau, stop trying so hard. I'm like, oh, to be in a country where your president tries too hard or at all. Like, that would be,
yeah.
You're trying too hard. You care too much.
Yeah.
But I heard somebody talking to Cal Penn about it too, and he was laughing about it. Like, yeah, that was a little weird because he, like full Indian garb and the whole family did it. And we're doing all this. Like, they were
he was
just
going over the top with it.
Yeah, where it was almost offensive in the
other
direction.
Okay, it was like appropriate-y, sort of. Yeah. The thing is, like, Canada's kind of like Australia in a way. Like, they're still catching up to, like, they're probably like 10 years behind, like, what's not okay and what's okay and, like, that kind of shit.
I think they're ahead of us in a lot of that. Yeah. Because they have, which I think is not a good thing, but, like, there was a comic that got sued up there because he called some lady a cunt or something in the crowd or, like, yelled at her. And I don't, but there was, like, some indecency law or something that, like, applied
in Canada.
To, yeah.
I mean, I know their gun laws are way.
I mean, they're known for being, like, so nice.
Yeah,
well,
but it's like a
weird, really
weird Stepford,
strict,
like, forced nice because of laws like that.
Right.
I think that's why, like, that's why people are surprised at all the racism now, is because for, like, a good decade it was, like, suppressed because they were, like, ashamed to be that.
Yeah.
And then, now you're saying like they feel more open.
Yeah, because Trump with his wink and nod, his dog whistles for him, like they're all coming back out of the woodwork.
There's a huge, and I know we've talked about this, you and I. There's a huge piece of me though, especially with like all these indictments that came out recently for these Russian hackers. There's so much of me wonders because they actually show. I was listening to Radiolab last week, which is like my catchphrase apparently, and they were talking about they actually found like flash mobs that started like during the campaign season in Florida, and like all these groups of people were actually started by like Russian trolls. Like they weren't actually people who, I mean, they preyed sort of on people who were already in that mindset.
Yeah.
But a lot of the hostility and like just sort of the vitriol that got generated either online or in crowds of people between like things that were like supposed to be protests were actually just all completely orchestrated by like Russian hackers. And it kind of makes me a little less, I guess, cynical about people when you start to wonder more and more if some of this stuff was like more like psychological warfare and there were plants and, you know what I mean? That kind of shit.
I think it, however many of those there are, like the Russian bots everybody's talking about, like it only like there's like 4chan and those dudes just sit around and make memes that like they think it's funny to like put out false shit and just see how many people will believe it. And I see like my aunts and stuff like constantly sharing stuff from right wing conservative websites that are like
all the time on my Facebook.
Yeah. And a lot of those came from like dudes on 4chan that also like make like the hilarious rape memes and like all kind, you know, like
so I have just a question.
The most ridiculous shit.
So you mentioned like you have relatives that will post very right-wing conservative sort of stuff, which I would sort of presume automatically would be sort of the territory of being quote-unquote white trash. You seem very like skeptical and very like devil's advocate-y, and you seem very like you look deeper into shit. So I don't know if that's something that's historically always been a part of you as well, or is that something that's sort of a rebellion against what you grew up around?
No, I just, the more, I just moved around a lot. The more people you meet, the less you hate people.
Yeah.
Unless you.
That's so true.
Because I was racist when I lived there. Like, I said the same things they did because it was just normal.
And it didn't occur to you that that was, like, there was nothing about it that necessarily seemed even rebellious or, like, inflammatory?
It occurred to me that it was fucked up, but it was, like, I already, like, I don't know. It just, like, there would be certain people where you would try to, like, fit in or something. Because they were, like, so aggro about shit that you didn't want
to,
like,
appease
go
them.
Against stuff. So you'd be like, yeah, they don't work.
Yeah, exactly. Gigi's laughing entirely too hard at that.
But also, the weird thing about that is, like, my grandma was a Democrat, and, like I had an uncle that was, too, but somewhere there were a lot of Southern Democrats that were still up until Obama, and then so all of a sudden, all these racist folk that like Democrats because they're for the people didn't like Democrats anymore.
Just because they were racist, do you think?
But yeah, because Obama was black. Like, that had so much more to do with it than people will ever admit. Because they'll go like, oh, but he did this and this. And I don't like, I hate that he did those drone programs. Yeah. And he went to, like, as many skirmishes and wars as anybody else has. Like, he was no different
but
on...
But he got much more of a pass, you think?
A lot of that shit. I don't know if he got a pass. I mean, he did from like liberals. They didn't, you know, that were so anti-war during the Bush year. I don't know what this has to do with being white trash.
I guess I'm trying to steer it back to actually is the idea that like I just don't, because I, like I said, I grew up in very rural Ohio, which probably still isn't as rural as rural Georgia, but I experienced many of the same things that you're talking about. And from my perspective, when people ask me kind of where my mindset comes from, my parents were actually like in an oasis of liberal in like a very red state rural area. So that's where sort of my perspectives on things come from, where it's not just straight up like, you know, what you were saying, like, yeah, they don't work, or, you know, making jokes and stuff like that. Like, I heard that all the time, but I always was kind of like, my parents were always like, yeah, don't go down that route. And so I guess I'm trying to determine if mostly what you grew up around, mostly what you were exposed to was sort of a more conservative, uneducated, closed-minded mindset. How did that progress into now where you're sort of, you seem very, you're always reading up on things. You seem very informed. You seem very, like I said, skeptical to a degree that I think is, you know, healthy, at least, you know, for the most part. I just wonder where that comes from. You know what I mean?
Well, I was trying to think of how to say this without sounding like a dick. I was always smarter than my family, than the people I grew up around. And I think it's, there's this weird religious strain to it where it's like, cause I also, when I say white trash, it is racist and homophobic and every, like,
cause I mean, like, there's always like, I have like the uber liberal mentality in mind that you can't like pigeonhole everybody, and some people can still be like poor and white and live in a trailer but extremely intellectual, but really when we're talking about white trash, like, that's not a part of the description. So that's why I'm wondering where it comes from.
I don't know, there was a time when I was like 14 or 15, maybe a little bit younger, but I was at the beach with my dad, and my dad was super racist, and I thought, like, maybe I'll fake drowning and like near a black person so they can grab me out of the water.
Just
and
to
then
show
my
him?
Dad would be like,
wow.
I would be like, Dad, they saved my life.
Yeah.
And it was like a stupid like kid fantasy.
They can't swim?
But
what are you thinking?
it could have backfired. Yeah. I would have just drowned and he would hate.
Real bad.
Yeah. I drown and he hates him even more.
Yeah, exactly.
God.
But yeah,
what do you even remember what your motivation was to be like, I want to prove to my dad that you shouldn't be a racist? I mean, like, where did that come from?
I don't know, because there wasn't really anyone in my life that was different than that. So I don't know.
Did you read? Did you watch a lot of news? Was there like an outside factor in some way? That,
maybe comic books.
Comic books.
I don't know.
Okay. Because that was it. I mean, like, where I grew up, we didn't have cable, so we didn't really have the means to even learn about like other opinions or stuff on the outside world. And it just happened to be that like my grandmother on my mom's side was like from Boston and was like extremely like democratic and liberal, and like that's a huge influence on like how I saw their perspectives. So,
well, I also really, really liked Michael Jackson as a little kid, which
there
is a weird
go.
Time for it. So maybe that was like, they can't be that bad.
Yeah. And then he started transforming himself into white, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that was weird.
He doesn't even.
Yeah, that was weird.
He didn't want to stick with that. So the elements, I mean, like I said, a lot of the perspective you have on just life and politics and government and the way the country's being run doesn't really necessarily align with white trash in sort of your modern existence. What would you say aligns with that in your modern, like, day-to-day stuff? Like, what parts of it are still very...
The money stuff and art. Like, I think arguing with people on Facebook is very white trash, because it's just the digital equivalent of doing it in your front yard. I mean,
so
it really
true.
Is. I might as well be standing out in the yard with like
it's one a level above that
broken down, rusted out truck sitting there
with a bat and your wife beater.
There's like a homemade chicken cage there for some reason
for your cockfighting.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I think that's. It's something to say. You could still be doing that. That's not like it's, you know, incapable.
Yeah.
So you're taking the digital route of it. At least. And I'm presuming you don't have to do it from like a library or anything. You can do it from your home. So that's also a step up.
I guess other stuff is like my car is always disgusting.
Like on the inside and the outside, or like just you don't keep it clean?
I just don't. I try. There'll be trash in it for just until it's.
There are mice.
Until it's unbearable.
Yeah.
And then I'll go like, I should probably do this.
Yeah.
Bills and like, I'm awful with all that stuff. Because Because, like, even now when most of the time, like, I can cover all my bills, like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
I'm like, this fucking... Because what are they going to do? Charge me $5 for being late? And I don't know. I think there's also, like, some of that is ADD, where I'm just like, I hate paperwork.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I love writing, but it has to be something I want to be doing. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a lack of motivation. It sounds like a lack of motivation that you identify as being white trash for the most part.
Well, it's just an ignorance of, like, it's not, it's a lack of motivation to be better.
Yeah.
It's like not even just like, you should be a harder worker or something. It's just like, you should just not be a bummer to everybody around you.
Yeah, yeah. But you have an awareness too, which I think a lot of people, especially, and you acknowledge, like, you were way smarter than a lot of people that you grew up around. And I think that does go back to the whole notion of, like, when you're dumb, you don't know it. So you can't have the awareness of, like, I need to get this shit together. I need to get that shit together. And yeah. I think pretty much the majority of life boils down to the awareness of an issue or a problem and then the motivation to do something about it. Yeah. And I feel like smarter people always sit on the first part, and it's the second part that really the motivation that drives, like, smart people into being, like, you know, insanely successful at whatever they're trying to do, which is why I'm doing a podcast on a Wednesday night for free, because I have no motivation whatsoever.
There was something else. I don't know.
No, we're just kind of talking about, like, you have the, you know, you have the motivation. You don't have the motivation to do better, even though, like, you know, there are things you should be doing better and that kind of thing. And like I said, I think that.
I haven't done my taxes for 3 years just because I'm frustrated with it.
Well, this comes to show you, like, unless you're making a shitload of money, they probably aren't making the effort.
Yeah, no, it's a whole thing, but I owe them like $14,000 or something. Okay. Because just to be diplomatic, I'll call it a mix-up with between me and the ex-wife on who gets to claim who.
Yeah.
You know, not being too specific, but some cunts think that they can take everything and then have you audited.
Some people, not his ex-wife, just some people.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just stuff like being responsible, but I also, like, I am too. It's just, it's just really hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, the being broke thing and, just a lot of stuff I don't give a fuck about. Like, yeah. I haven't ironed anything for my entire life. Like, I've never ironed any clothes.
It sounds like priorities are a thing too. Like, you would rather, like, incite Facebook, like, insanity versus pay your bills or buy your clothes. You know what I mean? Like, you have motivation. It's just being allocated to the wrong. Only if you can have, like,
joy from it to some degree.
Right.
Yeah, or to be completely honest, the days where my most facetious posts online are days that I forgot my meds that morning.
Oh, no.
And I'm just a grump the whole day.
You're nice to me, though. There was something I posted a while back where I was like, hey, I kept getting unfollowed, like, all the time. Yeah. And I was like, why is everyone unfollowing me? And then all these people just started, like, jumping on this bandwagon of, like, well, maybe it's because you suck. And then, like, Jordan was like, stop worrying about what everybody thinks. I'm like, everyone stop yelling at me. I'm already getting unfollowed. And, like, Chris DMs me. He's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And he's like, what the fuck is going on in this thread? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, it's fine. Just ignore them. And I was like, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's always it. Like, my advice to anybody newer to comedy is, like, just don't care about other comics.
It helps a lot.
There's no one comic that can help or hurt you, and they can all go fuck off.
Well, and it's the thing too. Like I said, it's such an individual, independent thing that I think as long as you're not actively out, like, trying to. Like, you can start shit and not ruin people's careers. You know what I mean? Like, you can start, like, but, like, as long as you're not actively out trying to sabotage what people are trying to do, everybody can do
that. I think the main thing you should always be worried about, I guess, in not just comedy, but anything's like getting better at it.
Yeah.
Is like just, that's like the whole, don't make like, I want to be famous. Just, right. I want to be really good at this.
Good, yeah. And just know that like your material is solid enough that like it'll kill 9 times out of 10. And like when you bomb, you know what I mean? Like, and you're always going to bomb, but like, I don't know. I still haven't reached a point yet where I'm like, hey, you know, I'm always hitting my stride. I have like more like bad nights than good nights. And I think when you have better, more good nights than bad nights is when I'll feel like,
yeah,
that I'm in a good place. I don't remember what else I was going to say because I've been smoking and drinking a lot over the last couple hours. We had a guest that didn't show up earlier, so we killed our time by killing our brain cells. And I want to thank Chris Paw for actually making the effort to get out here tonight, which is
no problem.
More than a lot of people can do.
thank this is you gonna for be, having me.
Yeah, this was fun. This is probably going to air towards the end of April. Do you have anything coming around that time or after?
At this point, I don't know the date, but I have an album, a comedy album coming out. I don't know. Just follow me on Twitter to find out, I guess, at Real Chris Paw.
P-A-U-G-H. Okay. I was like, I'm going to spell like I know it's spelled, but shit, wait, is that how it's spelled on Twitter? Yeah, it's called Apocalypse Now, right? Apocalypse,
yeah,
with your P-A-U-G-H in it.
Yes.
You just did your recording, and was it on your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd it go? Is it good?
Good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't make it out.
I'm going to be pretty happy with it.
Yeah, yeah. I heard nothing but good things about it. I just wasn't sure how you thought it went. So I'm glad to hear you thought it went well. Gigi, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at ggchick, g.g.chick.
You can find me at EpicFaul, E-P-I-C-F-A-U-L, on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me every Sunday night at 7 p.m. at the Avenue Tap House for the Red Light Showcase. First Sunday of every month is a open mic, and the last 3 Sundays of every month is a booked showcase. I want to thank OK Pants at OK Pants for doing our logo. Pete Milk for recording us, editing, and just hanging out with Gigi and I for the last hour and a half, just shooting the shit.
Thanks, Pete.
I want to thank Above Below Entertainment and Lousy Weather Media for being our networks. And what the hell should we do for our signature sound effect tonight?
I'm just thinking about that.
I don't know. What's it called?
The horn from the General Lee.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant. Okay, hold on. Let's find it on the YouTube here.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I can, like, we usually end up defaulting to the ham horn when I can't think of anything else.
Ham.
All right, so let's see. I'll probably get an ad when I go to play it. It'll be like, you should subscribe to This Today! And I'll be like, oh, fuck me.
Right. It's the Dukes of Hazzard, so it'll be Survival Seeds.
Okay, I love you, bye.